Steve Guerrero. I am America's voice. I'm here fierce and fearless to defend the truth. If that offends you, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm here to tell you the truth. I'm the guy. Here are three big things you need to know right now. Number three, the calls for Joe Biden to resign are starting to get serious with the deadly attacks in Kabul and a withdrawal that is clearly incompetent on every level. The buck stops on the commander's desk, whether he knows it's there or not. Number two, while the bodies were still in the street, not a word from Nancy Pelosi, who was spending time with a festive attitude hanging out with friends in San Francisco. Number one, the worst day of Joe Biden's feeble presidency. 13 American service members killed, 10 Marines, 2 U.S. soldiers, and a Navy medic. Killed by terrorists. The most casualties in Afghanistan since 2011 in a single day. In more than 10 years. Through all of Donald Trump's presidency. Through the majority of Barack Obama's presidency. We didn't have a day like this. In fact, the previous day that was worse came when a helicopter crashed. First reports came in of two bombs going off, and you just knew. You knew it was going to get bad. I've been talking about it here for weeks, that this was inevitable. You knew it was going to get bad. You knew it was going to get bad fast. It started with reports of three Marines injured. Then it was four Marines dead. Then 10, 11, 12 members of the military. Then 13. We now know it was 10 Marines, two U.S. soldiers, and a Navy medic. More severely wounded. They may not make it. The number could get worse. And there's no reason to believe, with the weakness shown already, that more weakness is not going to lead to more American blood in the streets. President Biden attempted to give a press conference, but honestly, it was weak. He rambled on about his son had served in the military and then died of cancer, which has nothing at all to do with any of this. It's back to Bo dying of cancer. Let's work through all of it together, shall we? Because we need to start somewhere. With American blood running in the streets, more certain to follow, Joe Biden still cannot admit he was wrong, very wrong, about he handled this whole botched mess. Listen.
This is why, from the outset, I've repeatedly said this mission was extraordinarily dangerous, and why I've been so determined to limit the duration of this mission.
What an embarrassment. Can't say he was wrong. Can't say much of anything about how he's handling this. I want to take you back to August 19th, Joe Biden completely dismissing the idea of any serious threat. And everything was going fine, he told George Stephanopoulos. Listen to this.
It took 2 days to take control of the airport. We have control of the airport now.
Still a lot of pandemonium outside the airport.
Well, there is, but look, but no one's being killed right now. God forgive me for if I'm wrong about that, but no one's being killed right now. People are, we got 1,000 somewhere, 1,200 out yesterday, a couple thousand a day, and it's increasing. We're going to get those people out.
But we've all seen the pictures. We've seen those hundreds of people packed into a C-17. We've seen Afghans falling.
That was 4 days ago, 5 days ago.
Yeah, and a few days later, Americans dismembered in the streets by bombs from terrorists. Hopelessly clueless is this president. Weak. Weak. And I'll take input from anybody. If you're a Joe Biden voter, tell me why you would still support this. Tell me how you can support this feckless, weak behavior. General H.R. McMaster says, just like I've been saying, it's going to get a whole lot worse before it ever gets better. Here he is.
It's going to get worse, right? It's going to get much worse. And what we have to remember is, you know, the Haqqani network, who used to run the Kabul attack network, is now in charge of security in Kabul. You compound that with the 5,000 that we made the Afghans release from prison, and then you compound that further with all the prisons being empty now of ISIS, Khorasan, and Al-Qaeda, and the Taliban. And so what we now have is a new epicenter of jihadist terrorism that is going to be a grave threat to the world. So the question is, what are we going to do now?
And what are we going to do now? That is the question. And speaking of questions, I the most bizarre thing yesterday, maybe the most frightening thing yesterday, was watching the president wobble out, give a feeble press conference, although he threatened the terrorists at one point. I'll get to that in a moment. But it seems to get stranger all the time with this feeble presidency. Listen to how he starts the questions on Thursday. And it makes you wonder who's running this thing. It's bite number three. And I want you to see this. If you haven't heard this, you have to hear this because it gives a great deal of explanation of what's going on behind the curtain. Listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, they gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on was Kelly O'Donnell of NBC.
The first person I was instructed to call on, who did this instructing? Who is Joe Biden answering to exactly? Who the hell is in charge of the United States of America? Do you think people instructed Barack Obama who to call on? Did they instruct George W. Bush on who he could talk to? Did they instruct JFK or LBJ or Richard Nixon or Ronald Reagan or Jimmy Carter? Did they instruct any of these people? Were they instructed on who they could talk to or what questions they could answer? Were they instructed by people behind the curtain? And it goes back to these other comments we've heard from him time and again. Well, I'll get in trouble if I talk too long. I'll get in trouble if I talk too long. Who's running the show? I do want to share with you that comments that he said. Bite six, I want to check because I want you to hear. He did get aggressive. Here's the aggressive Joe Biden. Listen.
To those who carried out this attack, as well as anyone who wishes America harm, know this. We will not forgive. We will not forget. We will hunt you down and make you pay. I will defend our interests and our people with every measure at my command.
You see, and if you believe that, you're assuming that he can even remember that happened. I have no faith in that comment at all. If Donald Trump had said that, I'd have said, yeah, you better find a place to hide. If Barack Obama had said that, you might want to find a place to hide, Osama bin Laden. All the presidents of my lifetime, if they had said that, it was serious. From this guy, who knows? Who knows? Because if he was serious, he would bring in a whole surge of military, put a perimeter on Bagram Air Force Base, take the place back, put it back in operation, get people out of the country, tell the Taliban, we'll leave this country when we damn well feel that it's time. And if August 31st isn't the time, we're staying. You got a problem with that? We don't care. That's not what's going to happen. The feeble presidency of Joe Biden limps on. More after the break.
In the Den with Dan Dickerson.
Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use the code HUGE for a special offer when you sign up. That's code HUGE for a special offer when you sign up. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The Tigers just played their 16th extra inning game of the year, and I'm still trying to figure out whether I like the extra inning runner at second base. It does help shorten extra inning games. Most games are over in the 10th inning. There is action right from the start, and tension, and strategy for managers, but it changes the game so much. Run scoring more than doubles in extra innings. A reliever can have a 1-2-3 inning and take the loss. The run is scored as an unearned run, a pretty good description of the work it took to get that runner home. Many in the game want to keep the extra inning runner. The best compromise idea I've heard is put that runner at first base. Run scoring will still go up. There's still lots of strategy involved, but you give the team in the field a much better chance of being rewarded for a well-pitched, well-played inning.
American history and civics education is at a turning point. Will we allow bureaucrats and lobbyists to choose what school kids are taught, or will we teach the whole truth? My friends at Hillsdale College argue for teaching the truth. They've made the Hillsdale 1776 curriculum downloadable for free at k12.hillsdale.edu. Available to teachers and citizens just like you to share with other concerned Americans. This complete K-12 history and civics curriculum is designed to give educators guidance, not mandates, and allow students to learn the tragedies and triumphs of American history as it really happened. Our kids deserve to be taught the truth through a sound curriculum that was created by teachers, not bureaucrats, and upholds the dignity of each individual. America's future depends on an honest, candid look at our history. Download Hillsdale's 1776 curriculum for free today at k12.hillsdale.edu. That's k12.hillsdale.edu.